You may be seated. Ephatha, a strange word to us, but a word that comes in this story of the gospel, the second story that Ruth read today, the story of the one who cannot hear and stutters when he speaks. And when Jesus comes to him and privately, he puts his hand over his ears and says the word, Ephatha, meaning be opened. Be opened. That word caught my attention, and usually I try to avoid these Aramaic words because I can't pronounce them. But then again, I think who knows how to pronounce them anyway. But I looked through the book of Mark and discovered that there are 7 different times when Mark uses the Aramaic word for something. The Gospel of Mark uses that word instead of translating it or alongside the translation. And that got me curious. Why those particular words? Why do they stay in the Aramaic language? Perhaps you remember these stories in the book of Mark. Remember when the little girl has died and Jesus goes to her bedside and he uses the word Talitha kum, little girl, stand up. He speaks in Aramaic. Or the time when he is praying and he uses the word Abba, Father, or Daddy, when he speaks to God. And then there is the time when he is on the cross and he says, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, sometimes when we have translations, it makes us aware that there are some words that simply do not translate. Different languages, different people think in different ways. The world is open to them in different ways, and they have words that we don't have in our language. And that often shows when we have different translations of biblical material. We say, oh, that word could work. Or that word could work, or that word could work. So perhaps these words have more meaning than they can translate, and something would be lost in the translation. And also, I think, I was reading a commentary where it's quoted Nelson Mandela, who said, if you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. And that made sense to me. When Jesus says to this little girl on the bed, little girl, rise up. And he speaks to her in the language of home. The language her mother spoke to her, the language of love, she hears not just those words, but she hears the welcome to rise up. When he speaks to God with the familiar term, Abba, Daddy, it is a place of home and intimacy and belonging. Give me this day my daily bread. A deep connection, as well as those words on the cross, if we know they are said with intimacy and love, my God, why have you forsaken me? Spoken in the language of home, A deep love and binding trust, those words hold new meaning and bring a new reality. So when Jesus speaks to the man who cannot hear and stutters when he speaks, when Jesus speaks to him and touches him in a place apart where no one can see, he implores him to open his ears, open his mouth, and he uses this intimate phrase, Ephatha, be opened. He's saying more than, I'll give you a hearing aid so you can hear, or take some speech lessons and I'll help you talk. No, when Jesus implores this man to be opened in his own intimate way, he knows this man. He's asking him to lay down his defenses and face the world in a way that takes all that he's got. Jesus is commanding him in a gentle way, commanding the man to hear, but more than that, to listen. Commanding the man to speak, but more than that, to find his voice, to turn and face the world without reserve. Ephatha is a word of wholeness. Jesus doesn't divide this man into parts. No, he sees the whole person, the man in this case, and he invites him, once his ears can hear and his lips can speak, to be opened in his life. And what is he to be open to? To God? To himself? To those he knows? To the world around him? And what does it mean, this openness? It means for him to listen for love, to live with care, to show compassion. For openness is more than receiving something. It is living in response to what one receives. I have a friend who gave me an illustration of openness in her life that I've never forgotten. Her name is Karen, and she, after living for a long time in warm climates, she and her husband moved to St. Paul, Minnesota in their middle years. And I went to visit her, my husband and I, one time in the middle of winter, and as she was showing me her house, we were walking up the stairs in her house, and we noticed on the stairway that there were shutters that were built in on the side of the stairway, and an opening that was made into another room that was on the side. And I said to her, what are the shutters for? And she said, well, last summer I traveled to Italy, and it was in the middle of the winter, and I had a room there in Italy that was closed off in the nighttime, but in the morning when I would open up the window and the shutters to let the light and the sun and the warmth come in. And it was such a life-giving experience that I decided when I came back to St. Paul in the middle of winter that I needed such a window in my house. And so we built this into my study so that when I feel closed in a dark room and cold and alone, I can remember those days in Italy and open the shutters to the warmth and the sun and the light of God in my life. Be opened, and I can face the world again. Ephatha, it's a word that means be opened, opening the shutters of our life to the presence of God, the presence of love in this world, the grace that holds us, and the challenge that is. This fall, we're focusing on this underlying theme of listening to God, listening to each other, and listening to the world around us. For part of this time in the life of Holy Shepherd is a time of paying attention to what God might be saying to us, to where God is leading us, and paying attention to what God is saying through us and through the world. How do we know where to go next? Be open to God. How will we hear what God is saying? Be opened that God is present and speaking. And the surprise of God in the text that we have today is that God speaks to us in our heart of hearts. God speaks and comes to us in who we are, in our wholeness, as with the man who is deaf and mute. And at the same time, the God that we know in Jesus is a God who shows no partiality, but comes to all people in their place in this world. This month, we're turning our attention to the book of James, a small book of the Bible that's often disregarded. And James is not a poet. James is a person of action, a no-nonsense person speaking to the church of his day, asking them to clear away the hypocrisy, to get at the root and the base of who they are and how God is acting in and through them. He gets to the crux of the matter. Here is the reading, the second reading for this day, from James, the second chapter. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, have a seat here, please, while to the one who is poor you say, stand there, or sit at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have honored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Here ends the reading. James has a sense of the whole. When one listens to God, one's life shows it. When one trusts or has faith in a God of love, one acts with love. And how is this love of God known? He points out in his community and points out something that's not just in his community, but part of human life, that we are partial. We are partial to the rich, giving them more time and credit, inviting them into our lives with anticipation. And yet he points out that God is a God of no partiality, a God of the whole people. And in a sense, this balance of God shows God partial to the poor, quite a reverse than our human inclination. James says that listening to God involves listening to the poor as well as the rich, even giving preference to the poor, because our tendency is to give undue credit to the rich. And by doing that, we will hear God more fully. In this way, life for the whole will bear fruit. James boldly asks the community of faith to consider who they're partial to and to begin to listen to those who've been neglected or pushed to the side, those who are mute or devalued. Because those people are not invisible to God, and they bear the Spirit of God in a way that the whole needs to receive. What could this mean for us? James is speaking to the church, challenging the community that trusts in Jesus to show by its actions who it reveres. Yet James is also speaking to each of us personally, of grace, of telling me that there may be more meaning and spiritual growth in paying attention to those things that I'm not partial to. If I desire to be open to the wisdom and love of God, I need to be open to the wisdom of love of people who may be off my radar screen. Does this mean that I listen to a different news report than the one I'm used to? Does this mean I attend a neighborhood event with people I know will make me uncomfortable? Does this mean I listen to a little longer to the concerns of those who are younger or older than I am? Does it mean that I make friends with someone who's not familiar with my language? Perhaps it means that I learn to speak out when I hear that hatred seems to win the day. This week, I attended a meeting of a beginning faith coalition in the city of Lakewood. It was the mayor who invited the faith leaders to be opened, not only to the new groundbreaking changes in this city, but to be open to the needs of a large population of people who can't keep up with the rising costs of housing and food and education for children and for elderly. It was the mayor of Lakewood who challenged the faith leaders to come together, to work together for the sake of those who are struggling, so that our city may care for all people, with the assumption and the presumption that all are better as all are cared for. What timing? What timing for and time for Holy Shepherd to open itself again to the needs of this changing place? For Holy Shepherd has a beautiful history of being open to this community, And a number of you have told me stories of your life transformed by paying attention to the needs of others. As we listen, live into this moment of transition, what are we learning? Who are we listening to? And where is God's invitation to be opened? Ephatha. Ephatha, proclaimed Jesus. And the man who was deaf and mute began to hear and to speak. Ephatha. Jesus challenges us in the language we know, in a deep and caring love. Jesus challenges us to greater love. Thanks be to God. Amen.